Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's shir, we're studying Perek Chav Chet, Chapter 28. Our series is in conjunction with the OU and its Nachyomi project, and sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation. In Perek Chav Chet, we were in the middle of a story that began in Perek Chav Zayin, where Yirmiyahu was told to make a yoke, to put it over his head, representing his contention that Am Yisrael was supposed to subjugate themselves to the new rising power of Bavel. The reason that Yirmiyahu gave for this need of subjugation was his punishment for the ritual behavior. However, we discussed in yesterday's shir that even though the reason for this is because of their bad religious behavior, everyone who hears this prophecy understands Yirmiyahu as being political, because in essence he's telling the nation not to rebel against Bavel, and therefore not to fight, not to join the coalition against Bavel. And therefore, instead of listening to the religious meaning of his words, he's viewed as a politician, and everyone attacks Yirmiyahu the person and claims that he's a false prophet. We also saw how Yirmiyahu was instructed to send these yokes, symbolic of subjugation to Bavel, not only to the King Tzidkiyahu of Yehuda, but also to all the kings who were gathering in Yerushalayim now at this time, the king of Edom, the king of Ammon and Moab, Tzor and Sidon, the five kings of the nations that surrounded the land of Israel. That was his primary message, and it seems to have been a message he not only gave now, during the reign of Tzidkiyahu, a little less than a decade before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but it was also given around the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the same year that Bavel first came into power in the Middle East, a warning that Jehoiakim did not heed to, which led to the exile of Jehoiakim. And now, even though the first 4 years of Tzidkiyahu's reign, they agreed to this subjugation, now, as we're going to see, in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, again, the nation is planning to rebel against Bavel. Yirmiyahu is adamant, telling the people, especially the king and the political leaders, it's a terrible idea, and this time, not only will they fail in this attempt, this will lead to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile of what remained in Yerushalayim. Let's begin now with the first Pasuk, because it will give us a date stamp of exactly when this event is taking place. Pasuk Aleph. Vahi b'shana hahi. And it came to pass in that year, the year that we were discussing in Perek Chav Zayin, where Yirmiyahu sent these yokes to the foreign minister meeting that was taking place in Yerushalayim at Tzidkiyahu's palace, planning this revolt against Bavel. Bereshit v'mlechit Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda. Towards the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, Bashana harevi'it, b'chodesh ha-chamishi, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Amar alai Chananiah ben Azur ha-Navi, asher migivon, b'veit Adonai, le'enei ha-kohanim, b'chol ha-am. Now Yirmiyahu is being challenged publicly by one of his colleagues. His name is Chananiah ben Azur, from the city of Givon, and this challenge is taking place in the Beit HaMikdash, in front of the eyes of the kohanim and the nation. Now what type of character is this Chananiah ben Azur? According to Chazal, he was indeed a Navi who thought he was a Navi of God. In fact, he's basing his prophecy on something Yirmiyahu had said in Perek Mem Tet, according to the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Yirmiyahu was saying one prophecy in the upper marketplace, and he would interpret that and say something different in the lower marketplace. But we'll see for sure he's a Navi Sheker, as we've explained many times before, and as we'll see very clearly in this chapter. A Navi Sheker means a Navi claiming to represent God, but even though he claims to represent God, he's making up something in God's name, thinking he's doing the right thing, but something that God never said. He's so motivated by his political aspirations, he's willing to say something in God's name that God had really never told him, but he's sure that he's right. So let's listen what Hanani has to say in public. Pasuk Bet. Ko amar Adonai tzvot Elohi Yisrael lemor. Shavarti et o melech Bavel. Hanani says as follows, this is the word of God. I am breaking the yoke of Bavel. Ba'od shnatayim yamim, 2 more years, אני משיב אל המקום הזה את כל כלי בית אדוני אשר לקח נבוכדנצר מלך בבל מן המקום הזה ויבם בבל. In 2 years time, all the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash that were taken 4 years earlier in the exile of Jehoiachin, they're now all going to come back from Bavel, and redemption is going to begin once again. This is a prophecy everyone wanted to hear. Recall, it's been 4 or 5 years since the first wave of exile, when Yechoniah and the Harash and the Masgir and many of the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash were taken out of Yerushalayim. Recall, Yerushalayim itself wasn't destroyed yet. In the meantime, Tzidkiyahu was appointed in charge under Babylonian sovereignty. And now the prophets in the Beit HaMikdash have tremendous hope that the worst is over. They can't wait for the brethren to come back. And they're predicting now the fall of Bavel. And in 2 more years, it's all going to be over. Not only the vessels will return, Pasuk Dalet, Bet Yechoniah ben Yehoiakim melech Yehuda, Bet kol galut Yehuda habayim Bavela, Ani meshiv el hamakom hazeh, Numa Adonai. Not only the vessels, even the king, Yechoniah, and all the exile that went to Bavel, God is going to bring them back. Why? Ki eshbar et o melech Bavel, because God is now breaking the yoke of Bavel. What's interesting is Hananiah, in many ways, is saying the same thing that Yirmiyahu is saying. The only difference is 68 years. Hananiah is saying it's going to happen in 2 years' time, and Yirmiyahu is saying it's true. God's going to bring everyone back, but not right away. It's going to take the full 70 years of Babylonian rule, which began with the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So we're talking about some 60 years from now that people will be returning. Pasukim. There's no doubt that this prophecy is a direct challenge to Yirmiyahu. It's also no doubt that if people follow this prophecy, then it makes sense to plan a revolt against Bavel, because everyone holds Bavel is going to fall, and they're putting their trust, as we'll see, in Egypt. Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Hanavi El Hananiah Hanavi Leinei Kohanim Uleinei Kol Ha'am Homdim Beveit Adonai. Yirmiyahu challenges now Hananiah, and listen what he says in front of the nation, in front of the other priests, in the Beit HaMikdash. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Amen. Yirmiyahu says, Amen means, I agree, I support. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what the word Amen means. There's a beautiful acrostic that means Kemelech Naman, which is a true statement. But in Hebrew, the word Amen means I agree or I support what is being said. And that's why when the Chazan makes a bracha in shul and the congregation answers Amen, it means we support exactly what you said. It's much more powerful and sounds better when one person makes a statement and everyone in unison agrees to that statement and says we all agree. That's more powerful and more meaningful and has a bigger effect than everyone saying that praise by themselves. That's why Chazal say, Gadol Ho'oneh Amen, someone who answers Amen is even greater than the person who makes the blessing himself. So Yirmiyahu says Amen, means he sounds like he's agreeing. As we'll see though, Yirmiyahu is saying Amen in a sarcastic way. And he continues and says, Kein yaseh Adonai, this is exactly what God should do. Yakim Adonai dvarecha, halavai that God would fulfill what you're saying. Asher nibeita lahashiv klei beit Adonai, v'cho ha'golam bibavel, el ha'makom hazeh. He says, halavai, that God would really fulfill what you're saying, to bring all the exiles back from Bavel and bring them back to this place, back to Yerushalayim. In other words, Yirmiyahu doesn't disagree with his hope. On the other hand, he knows inside that Hananiah is making it up. Pasuk Zayin. Ach shmana hadavar hazeh. But Hananiah, be careful, he tells him. Asher nochi dover baznecha. Listen to what I'm telling you. Uvaznei kol ha'am. Not only in your ears, in the ears of all the nation, or as we would say, mark my words. There's a principle, Yirmiyahu says. All the prophets, since before my time and your time, any prophet who makes predictions of bad things happening, that is not putting their career on the line, because if a Navi makes a prophecy of doom and the people do tshuva, that prophecy can be overturned. However, Hanavi asher yinave l'shalom, a Navi who makes a promise of something good happening, then that will be a true test whether this prophet is a true one or a false one. And now, what Yirmiyahu is implying is that within 2 years' time, and your prophecy won't happen, and we won't return from Bavel, that's going to be a sign that you are indeed a Navi Sheker, you're a false prophet, and your career is on the line. See now how Yirmiyahu is more or less covering his bases, because if the Beit HaMikdash is not destroyed, and the rest of the people are not exiled, that doesn't mean that Yirmiyahu is a false prophet. That means that the people possibly repented. However, Hananiah, who's promising something good to happen, if within 2 years' time this doesn't take place, Yirmiyahu is claiming that will prove to everyone that you're a false prophet. Hananiah, now being challenged by Yirmiyahu, has to do something to prove that he's right. Recall that there's a whole revolt now that the people are planning against Bavel, and if the people listen to Yirmiyahu, the whole war effort's going to fall apart. Listen now in verse 10, Pasuk Yud, what he does. Vaykach Hananiah Hanavi et hamotah me'al tzavar Yirmiyahu Hanavi vayish berehu. What does he do? He takes that yoke that Yirmiyahu had over his neck, he takes it off of his neck, and he breaks it in public. Vayomer Hananiah leinei chol ha'am lemor. In the eyes of all the people, as he breaks this yoke that was over Yirmiyahu's neck, he says as follows, Ko amar Adonai, this is the word of God, kacha eshbor et om Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, just like I did to this yoke, that's how God is going to break the yoke of Bavel. Bo'od shnatayim yamim me'al tzavar kol ha'goyim. In 2 years' time, this yoke will be broken not only over Israel, but over all the nations in the Middle East. Again, he's predicting the fall of Bavel. Vayelech Yirmiyahu navi l'darko. Yirmiyahu leaves. He's been challenged. He's got nothing to say anymore. It looks like Hananiah won the showdown. Everyone's clapping and cheering. Yirmiyahu, sadly, has to leave. He lost the argument. Pasuk Yud Bet. Me'al tzavar Yirmiyahu navi lemor. After this, God comes, in a certain way, consoles Yirmiyahu, assuring him that indeed Yirmiyahu's nevuah is true, and not Hananiah's. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Haloch v'amar tel Hananiah lemor. Go tell Hananiah now in private. In public, it's a lost cause. But you and Hananiah, you both know the truth. Go tell him privately what's going to be. Kol ma'ar Adonai, botot et shavarta, you broke a yoke made out of wood, vasita tachtehen motot barzel. Instead of those wooden yokes that were on us till now, now you're going to make instead of them a yoke made out of iron. Kichol ma'ar Adonai tzvot elei Yisrael. This is now the word of God, the God of Israel. O barzel natati al tzavar kol ha'goyim ha'ele, lavod nevuchadnetzar melech bavel, v'avduhu. I'm now going to put an iron yoke over all the nations. Up until now it was a wooden yoke, now it's going to be an iron yoke. Gam et chayat ha'sadeh natati lo, as we said in the beginning of Perek Chavzayin, God is even giving the animals of the field to serve him, meaning all of nature is going to help Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. God is going to be on their side, their subjugation of the other nations. Again, Yirmiyahu is stating, is the will of God and the punishment for the bad deeds, not only of Am Yisrael, but also of all the nations. So let's see what Yirmiyahu tells now, Hananiah. Pasuk Tetvav. V'yomer Yirmiyahu ha-Navi al Hananiah ha-Navi, Shmana Hananiah. Yirmiyahu tells him, listen, Lo shlachacha Adonai. You know, like I know, God didn't send you. I know you're making it up, and you know you're making it up. Vata hiftachta ta'am hazeh al shaker. And now you're misleading the people, you're making them false promises. Your political agenda is so strong in your heart, you know that you're making it up. And I'm telling you what God told me is true. I know you don't trust me, Yirmiyahu is saying. But I'm telling you, my prophecy is true, and you know, like I know, that you're making it up. Pasuk tetzayin, lachein kol ma'ar Adonai, hinni mishalechacha me'al pnei ha'adama. God's telling you, I'm going to send you out of this land. Hashana tamet. This year you're going to die. Kisara dibarta al Adonai. You've spoken in a rebellious way against God. God is saying, this year you're going to die. And truly enough, Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayomot Hananiah ha-Navi b'shana ahi, b'chodesh ha-Shvi. That very same year, seems like 2 months later, in the seventh month, Hananiah dies. You would think after Hananiah's death, the people would learn their lesson and say, Yirmiyahu was right. Clearly, that doesn't happen. The people don't listen now to Yirmiyahu because Hananiah died. My assumption is that they probably blame Yirmiyahu for cursing Hananiah, because they know Yirmiyahu is a man of God, and he has these special powers, and they're so set on the rebellion against Babel, even a sign like this is not enough for them. They all hate Yirmiyahu. They claim that Yirmiyahu is the enemy of the Jewish people. They feel sorry for Hananiah. The war, if it continues, and nothing can be done to change the people's decision to rebel. That ends chapter 28. This topic will continue right into chapter 29. We'll see another showdown between Yirmiyahu and the false prophets. I hope now this story gives us a much better idea of why Yirmiyahu has such an issue with these false prophets. It also helps prove our contention that these false prophets really thought they were the prophets of God. They thought they were doing the right thing. But it's the willingness to make things up in God's name that God never said to support their political agenda that gets God so angry and ultimately will lead to the fall of the first temple period. One interesting point, which is really a topic for the book of Yechezkel, but simply it's not fair to read this chapter and not make note of it. Anyone who studied Sefer Yechezkel before, in fact, we read about this, Daftar on Shavuot, the very first vision of Yechezkel, in chapter 1, and later that vision is repeated in chapter 10 as well, Yechezkel sees the God's Shekhinah, God's divine presence, leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Bavel, which is an amazing sight. It's one of the main topics in Sefer Yechezkel. But when does Yechezkel see that vision? Recall Yechezkel was one of the exiles with Yehoiachin. He left Yerushalayim 4 years prior to this event. If you look carefully in the opening lines of Yechezkel, Yechezkel's opening prophecy where he sees God's Shekhinah, the so-called Maaseh Merkava, leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Bavel, takes place in the fifth year of their exile, which is pretty much year 4 or 5 of Tzidkiyahu, because when that exile began, that's when Tzidkiyahu came into power. What's amazing, and we're going to continue and see this in tomorrow's lesson, is that just at the same time when the false prophets are predicting that in 2 more years Babel is going to fall, putting all their hope that Egypt is going to come now to the rescue, not only to rescue Israel, but to rescue the Middle East and take over now from their side, everyone has so much hope in that they're all predicting the worst is over and everyone's coming back. Exactly the same year that Israel decides to join this revolt against Babel, not heed God's words from Yirmiyahu, is exactly when Yechezkel tells the people in the exile, guess what? God's Shekhinah is leaving Yerushalayim, and now the future of the Jewish people is in Bavel. We began to see that in chapter 24 in Yirmiyahu, with the vision of the two containers of figs, where the good figs were the Jews in Bavel, and the bad figs were the Jews in Yerushalayim. Now we have a much better idea of what date and what time that happened. It could have been that those who remained in Yerushalayim could have been the future. From them, the remnant of Israel could have continued, and we could have thrived as a nation had we accepted Yirmiyahu's contention that we have to subjugate ourselves to Bavel to the end of those 70 years. But now, because they rebel and they don't listen, and now again they make the same mistake that Jehoiakim had made, and they join this military movement against Bavel, God says it's over for the people in Yerushalayim. It's only a matter of time that Nebuchadnezzar is going to return with his army and destroy the city. And now the future of Am Yisrael is in Bavel. Hence the deeper meaning of everything that Yechezkel is going to tell the people in the exile, that now the Shekhinah is with them, and the Shekhinah has left Yerushalayim. That's a major event in Jewish history. That's the beginning of seeing the exile as the center of the Jewish future, at least temporarily at that time. And that event all begins right here in chapter 28, in the showdown between Yirmiyahu and Hananiah. So in tomorrow's Shir in Perek Chavtet, we're going to see a letter that Yirmiyahu is going to send the people in the exile to make sure that they understand this message, that they are now the future. If you think this got the people in Yerushalayim angry, you'll see how angry they get when Yirmiyahu sends this letter to the people in Bavel that they're the future. We'll continue with Mirtz Hashem, our study tomorrow, with chapter 29.